The WBFO Brief Podcast is made possible by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Access to the newest treatments and most sophisticated testing is so important. It matters where you receive your cancer care. Spend one day with Roswell Park. Visit roswellpark.org.
Today's WBFO Brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
A Niagara Falls man could spend up to 25 years in prison following his guilty plea on manslaughter and other charges. According to the Niagara County District Attorney's Office, 24-year-old Romello Lewis was convicted for his role in the death of Cortez Gilmore during a robbery on May 3, 2022. Another man, 21-year-old Isaiah Christian, previously pleaded guilty to a manslaughter charge for his role in the killing. Lewis also pleaded guilty on robbery and criminal possession of a weapon charge. A new project addressing homelessness in Buffalo is underway on the east side. A groundbreaking ceremony took place Thursday afternoon at the Sycamore Street site that will be home to Build Promise, a facility that will provide semi-private shelter to 96 homeless men. The effort is part of plans developed by Amy Beatros, the founder of St. Luke's Mission of Mercy, that provides food, clothing, and schooling to many of the city's underserved populations. Located across Sycamore Street from the St. Luke's campus, Build Promise will have 80 code blue beds and offices providing medical, dental, and mental health services. And a Genesee County School District is drawing attention of auditors from the State Comptroller's Office. According to Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, auditors took note of two separate financial practices in the Pembroke School District. One review found the district failed to invest millions of deposits. They estimate nearly $390,000 could have been earned through investment practices. Another review saw an extracurricular activity fund was not properly documented. Three men may receive life in prison when they're sentenced this morning in state Supreme Court. Ernest Green, Wayne Robbins, and Daniel Rodriguez will appear for sentencing this morning for their roles in two home invasions that left three people dead. Green and Rodriguez were convicted on murder charges in the death of Danielle Cretacci, the 31-year-old Tonawanda woman who was shot in front of her daughters. Green and Robbins were convicted of killing two people, 21-year-old Bethany Malloy and 26-year-old Shaquille St. John, during a home invasion on Merrimack Street. Local law enforcement officials will hold a press conference following the 10:30 sentencing. Trocare University is continuing its expansion as it moves forward on a new veterinary sciences department. A groundbreaking was held Thursday on the $5 million facility at the site of Trocare's former hospitality school on Transit Road. The plan calls for the addition of 3,300 square feet of new space, while renovations will be made on an existing 1,500 square feet of space. And Buffalo's role in the Pan American exhibit is on display at the Buffalo History Museum. History Museum launched the exhibit yesterday to coincide with the 123rd anniversary of the event that was held in Buffalo in 1901, called Return to the Rainbow City. Buffalo's Pan American Exposition recounts the story of the fair and features a variety of Pan Am artifacts, paintings, and photographs.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying griffs find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
In Canada, a boycott has kicked off against one of the country's largest supermarket chains, Loblaws. Organizers say many people are frustrated with all the major grocers because of rising food prices and profits. The boycott against Loblaws began on the same day the company posted first quarter profits of nearly $500 million. With more from Toronto, here's Dan Karpinchuk.
The boycott was organized after a Reddit group gained thousands of followers who were looking for a forum to list their complaints about the high prices of groceries. The page, called Loblaws Out of Control, has more than 60,000 members and continues to gain momentum. Emily Johnson is one of the organizers.
Ideally, we'd like to see Loblaws sign the Grocer Code of Conduct. We would like to see, you know, commitments to affordable pricing, price caps on essential items.
Johnson says she hopes the boycott educates people and has a financial impact on Loblaws. Many Canadians have responded to the boycott.
Like, to be able to afford food plus rent as a mother, it's ridiculous.
They're crazy. They're going up every week. A lot of stuff I used to buy, I just don't buy anymore.
I think that it's probably an excellent thing that they're doing, and boycotting is probably something, the only way that people are going to pay any attention to what's happening in the world. So
everybody's having hard times right now, so I think it's wonderful to boycott an idea to save money.
While the boycott appears to be gaining steam and is resonating with consumer frustration and anger, the grocery chain is pushing back. Senior executives say the criticism of the chain is misguided, and Loblaw chairman Galen Weston has already spoken out.
No matter how many times you read it on Twitter, the idea that grocers are causing food inflation is not only false, it's impossible.
But still, consumers are responding to the boycott, and for now their anger is being directed at Loblaws. Here's Monica LaBarge of Queen's University.
I think there is some indication that they are listening to the criticism. But at the same time, then you have these earning reports that come out that make it sound a little bit like they're saying one thing on one hand and doing another.
And it's unclear just how effective a boycott will be. Some food experts are skeptical. Sylvain Charlebois is director of the Agri-Food Analytics Lab at Dalhousie University.
Sometimes boycotts do work, but in this case, it can't. In fact, it could backfire against the people, the very people who are trying to make this boycott successful. You would basically force other grocers to raise prices. If you eliminate one option off the market, that's trouble for everyone.
Several months ago, the federal government in Ottawa came up with a plan to address rising food prices and pledged that Canadians would soon see grocers take measures. The lead on that went to Industry Minister François-Philippe Champagne.
First, the Competition Bureau now has subpoena power to force companies like those in the grocery sector to provide information as part of market studies. Second, the Bureau now has the power to block mergers that don't directly benefit consumers and stop abuse of dominance. And third, these changes mean it will be illegal for large grocery chains to prevent independent grocers from setting up shop in the same commercial building or complex.
But just a couple of months ago, Champagne said he was disappointed at the lack of transparency the grocery giants have offered in the fight against food inflation. He admits that the process will likely take months and suggests further action is needed. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
For Theatre Talk on WBFO, I'm Anthony Chase.
And I'm Peter Hall.
And we continue our pace. How many shows did I see this week?
Five.
Up first was Crowns, the musical about African-American women and their hats, the hats they wear to church, up at Musical Fair Theatre, with a cast of all leading ladies formed into an ensemble. We saw the population of several recent shows, all of the leads combined together.
With choreography by Nyla Ansari and music direction by Karen Saxon and direction by Femby Duncan, all names that we associate with Once on This Isle and The Color Purple.
Yes, and it's a charming show, just an adorable show, about the attitudes of these women toward their hats, a few of whom have 200 hats in the collection. Very charming show. And then on to Merrily We Roll Along at Second Generation Theater Company. Now, I think at this point, Second Generation is just showing off.
Yes, we've got the talent. We could do this.
We'll take the most frequently messed up musical in the history of the American musical theater, and we will do a credible production. And they have. More than credible.
Not only a credible production, but it's currently on Broadway. Now that's chutzpah.
It's about three friends, and it works backward in time. The beginning with the huge success of one of them and the complete breakup of the friendship, working backward to the night the three of them became a trio of tight friends, populating it with three very talented people, and then with standout moments and performances by various others. I thought Kelly Copps as Odious Gussie, really outstanding. Sondheim is very good for her. Her Cinderella in Into the Woods was similarly excellent, the first show that Second Generation did.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Into the Woods. I went back and counted. I've only seen 10 Sondheim shows. You've seen how many?
20.
Okay. Well, I've only seen 10, but I was reminded a little bit of Into the Woods, the nice quirky rhythms as you go along, and a little bit of Company, the big numbers with the stage filled with people.
Right.
If you haven't seen Merrily We Roll Along, this is a good opportunity.
So then up to Canterbury Woods Theatre to see the First Look Buffalo production of Bella Poynton's new play. Bella gravitates towards science fiction, and this is the AI at Delphi. Very good. I was just captivated by the premise of this. It's set in the future when this artificial intelligence begins to take on human emotions and qualities, saves the world, and then kind of want to takes over the world. In a benevolent way, maybe.
Well, she does. It starts with she wants to vote. And that requires citizenship. She wants to be a citizen. Well, that requires a body. You have to be a person. So she wants to become a person. She does.
Right. I promise. Engaging. Very engaging and thought-provoking. And not only that, but kind of fun. Thought it was a good evening at the theater.
And I thought a wonderful production for that particular space, which is very broad, and they filled it with simulated computers. It really worked. And when the IT comes alive, it's Melinda Capolis, who really is a wonderful mime. Fun to watch. Well, I have yet to get over to Alleyway for The Death of a Streetcar Named Desire.
Named Virginia Woolf.
The Death of a Streetcar Named Virginia Woolf. and also out to Lancaster Opera House for Airness, all about air guitar performances, I gather?
Well, Death of a Streetcar Named Virginia Woolf opened on Wednesday, and I was not available Wednesday, so they let me sneak in on Sunday, see it while they're still working the kinks out, which I think added to the fun. It is a silly thing. This is not a great play. It's not even a great spoof. But for those obsessed with the theater, it's a great time. And these clowns they've got going, first rate. They are the crystallization of these iconic characters of the American 20th century theater. So you get George and Martha from Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. You get Blanche DuBois and Stanley Kowalski. And you get Willie Loman. And you get the narrator kind of from our town. And they weave this all in together. They've all been mysteriously summoned to New Orleans. They will all be linked together somehow. And that is very, very funny. A fabulous guilty pleasure. And then out to Lancaster Opera House for Airness. Now, I didn't even know this was a real thing. People compete with air guitar. You have 1 minute performance and then 1 minute of a song you have not prepared. And it's a culture around the country for people pretending to be playing the guitar and trying to transmit the power of great guitar performances through the guitar equivalent of lip syncing. And it's really fun. Brace yourself for salty language. It's not the sound of music, but I promise at the end, it's life affirming and heartwarming and has that number of, you know, from 42nd Street, you know, you're going to go out there and be a star and, you know, win one for the Gipper. I promise. This is in the ancient tradition of uplifting theatrical experiences. For Theater Talk on WBFO.
I'm Peter Hull.
And I'm Anthony Chase.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.